We continue in this summer series of looking at characters of faith in Scripture and how they speak to us in these times and days of our lives as individuals and as a community of faith. When I knew that I was preaching this Sunday that Marcelo was being baptized, I was thinking about all of the places in Scripture where there are stories of baptism and the meaning of baptism and the depth of that commitment, and trying to link that to a specific character was almost an immediate response to be drawn to the story of Lydia. There's not much about her in Scripture. She is only mentioned in 3 verses in Acts. And yet, as we gather together to reflect upon her life and ministry, I hope that you will see the rich part she has played in the fabric of faith. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, pour forth your Spirit upon us that the words I speak and the thoughts we have as we reflect on this Scripture might be acceptable to you, might be our rock and our salvation as we seek to live as you call us. In Christ we pray. Amen. The Bible is full of many mysterious people of faith. And the details, as we will find with Lydia, are often very sketchy. Lydia is known by the commentators as the first European convert to Christianity. We read in Scripture that she was a wealthy merchant of purple fabric of the most expensive kind. Her support of Paul's ministry in Philippi is often heralded, though I was surprised to find that Paul actually never really mentions it much in his thanksgiving for that community. But where is Lydia's husband? How can she be a wealthy merchant? We puzzled over this as we gathered together in the worship planning for around this text, our Bible study time together a couple of weeks ago. Did her husband die and leave her lots of money and no children? Did she make her own fortune on her own? We know clearly that the writer of Acts doesn't speak about her husband. It just speaks about her household. Several commentators have also thought that she might even be something of a self-made woman, a freed slave, because she comes from Thyatira, which is in the region of Lydia. And often, freed slaves were named after their region. What is clear, however, by our text this day, and that is where we need to focus, is that she is a seeker, a worshiper of God, as the New Revised Standard Version puts it, gathering at the river to pray with others. And we know that she is a person who acted on her faith. The 16th chapter of Acts is a rich story of commitment and hospitality, as we encounter this second of Paul's missionary journeys, and a variety of people who hear and respond to this message of salvation. The story of Lydia is the beginning of the church of Philippi. Philippians is known to us in the Scriptures as the epistle of joy, the letter of joy, with a wide variety of uplifting passages and texts that we may memorize to encourage us in the faith. And it all begins as the women gather at the river where Paul supposed that there was a place of prayer. There they are met with Paul and Timothy, and we read that Lydia listens eagerly. We also read that Lydia's conversion is the work of the Holy Spirit, as it is ours. As the writer of Acts puts it, for it was the Lord who opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. The Greek literally says, opened her heart to attend to the things spoken by Paul. The word attend, which is the root in the word attention. Lydia pays attention to the things of faith. And this is the first thing that we learn from this story of Lydia, that the Lord opens her heart to listen eagerly. Now, there are a lot of things you guys could be doing on a Sunday morning, but you are here. You are seeking. Perhaps you have come here seeking many different things, to praise God, to be open to God speaking to you, to gather together in prayer, to be seeking new direction or challenges to serve. You know why you are here. We read then in this story of Lydia that Lydia responds to this time of hearing the message by having herself and her household baptized, a fairly common practice in the early church for a believer to have his or her own household baptized. Lydia pays attention to the things of faith, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Lord always is what leads us to our response in faith. It is always a joy to celebrate baptism, to recognize in worship the commitment to build a household of faith, to center one's life in God and the life of one's house, and to commit to making a home for faith in our lives. We celebrate that today with the Johnson family and the extended family that has gathered with them from near and far to be here for this marking of this sacred and awesome event. We gather as a community too to mark formally what God has already done for us, to open our hearts to faith and to be open to God's work inside our hearts. What God continues to do as we live and move and have our being in the household of faith in our homes and in our church together, to nurture that journey through all the ages of our lives together. But in order for that to happen, we have to show up. How is it that we make a home for faith? We read, and as we look at the story of Lydia, we read that at the heart of Lydia's story is hospitality. It's the heart of the passage that we read in Proverbs as well, which might have been talking about a woman of faith such as Lydia, for this woman of God who is lifted up. It is significant that the first act of Lydia's faith after baptism is to invite Paul and his company to stay at her house. And this is the beginning of the Philippian church. I encourage you to continue to read in this week through chapter 16 as that gift of hospitality and welcome continues, as Paul meets the slave girl with the demon, a demon who recognizes the Most High God through their proclamation of salvation, as Paul is thrown into prison for disturbing the city and witnesses to his jailers. We read in this chapter about the jailer who meets Christ through Paul and takes him home to share that message with his household and for them also to be baptized, to rejoice that he had become a believer in God. And then finally, at the end of chapter 16, they all come back to the home of Lydia to encourage the community, where Paul comes with Timothy, to encourage the community before moving on to the next place in their journey. How we live in our individual households matters, and how we live together as a community of faith matters as well. Are we seeking to follow Christ together, to celebrate with joy that commitment to live in the faith, to live in the manner that we have seen and heard through this ministry and mission of Paul and Timothy? Though individuals are lifted up in these stories, there is a clear community focus as well in this text. So what then is God calling the church to do and to be? That is clearly what we are about in these days. but it is also clearly what the church should always be about. How are we at work in what God is calling us to do and be? Our text about Lydia reminds us that at its root are the promises that we make at baptism, the commitment we make to seek to follow Christ and to nurture the faith of others. Of Lydia's household, of the household of the jailer, remembering our own baptisms and celebrating this joyous baptism of Marcello today. It is said that when Martin Luther got up in the morning and put water in his faith, he would say to himself, "I am baptized." It was a way of reminding himself that living out his baptism was a key to his daily living in discipleship. For us, as well as Martin Luther, the baptismal covenant is to be lived out daily, not a once and for only then time. What happens in the house matters. In this orientation to faith, in its roots in baptism, as it is lived there and lived in gathering in community to the end of time. Let us be a people who live out our baptisms, not just this day as we celebrate together, as we share together in birthday and baptismal cakes, but all days in our homes and in the community of faith. Amen.